we decided to, you know, embark on serious discipline. When you are taught like this, well, for example, if you are in Lagos Church, you know that on Sundays, you have two different subjects of scripture. On Wednesday, then, consequently, two Saturdays in the month, we go into different Bible subjects. And then you still have a backlog of this meeting and that meeting. It's very likely that if you're a lazy person, you will not follow up. Somebody was telling me, because I've not been around for a while, I said, Pastor, what do I do? I said, stay tuned. That means you must be ready to learn. That is, there is no laying aside anything. Look at the subjects we are teaching. Everything is important. Don't forget that the Bible says till we all come to the unity of the faith, Ephesians 4 and 13, it says to the full knowledge, say the full knowledge. Good. Full knowledge means that we are going to take on the entire counsel of God's word. To the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness that is in Christ. Acts 20:20, Paul says that I did not keep back anything that was profitable unto you. I told you from house to house and most publicly, so I did not shun to declare unto you the entire counsel of God's word. So if you are a serious minister of the gospel, you must be acquainted with the entire counsel of God's word. 2 Timothy 3 and 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That, verse 17, the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. You must be adept with every subject matter being taught to you. It's not yet enough. So you must get acquainted with it. You must load yourself with all the information that is being passed across to you. One of the laxities of world churches, what we call world churches, is that you begin to compare yourself with somebody else who doesn't have the privilege that you have. I call it a privilege. I have the privilege too. 1 Corinthians 4, it says that we are the stewards of the mysteries, the manifold mysteries, the wisdom, the word of God. It says it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. So, it is, there's a requirement on you, that is, to whom much is given, much is required of. If I say, for instance, that you should oversee a building, or say six buildings on this street, and then I give $2 million, one building, and then you look at him and say, well, after all, I have done two buildings. Even the one building he has only done 4 flats out of 5. Surely, to whom much is given, much is required of. Now to you now, much is given to you. And Jesus taught in Mark 4:24, he said, take heed what you hear that you hear. The measure of listening you do to the word you hear. Men are going to church. The measure of attendance you make to a meeting. The measure of thought, the amplified, and study you give to it is a measure of the virtue that is returned to you. Meditate upon some of these things, 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate upon as much as you can. Meditate upon all these things. Give yourself as it is convenient unto them that your profiting. Give yourself wholly, totally to them that your profiting may appear unto all men. So, is incumbent upon you to be faithful. The revelation of God's word that is coming to you from the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12:1. So pay attention now. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you. Notice we are talking about meetings now. Therefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. That no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are differences of operations, but the same God that worketh all in all. So, what we are doing now is to look at, we have gone farther than just looking at the gifts of the Spirit. We have looked at the ministry gifts and the operations. Now we are going to look at the operations of ministry gifts among believers. When there is a meeting, a church service, a Bible study service, or whatever name we give to it, when believers gather, for instance, the local meeting, we are defining things and all that. Now, we are looking at practical operations of ministry gifts. You see that ministry gifts is actually the fullness of the manifestation, sorry, of the demonstration of the Spirit. We have seen that. How many of you have seen that so far? Is that clear to all of us? Good. So we want to see it in operation, in meetings. The gifts of the Spirit, the ministry gifts, or the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit, and the operations thereby, in the meetings. Now, look at 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The manifestation of the Spirit, and I've explained that to you, that the manifestation of the Spirit refers to the fullness, the unveiling of the Spirit, which happens when a man is born again. Now, I've said this before, that there is, I understand how it came to be, but there's a careless dichotomy in Christian meetings. Now, if that dichotomy was done so that there's a pursuit of growth, it should have helped. But what that dichotomy has done is to give you this idea that we have a class in the society of the church. That, and this is it, I've explained that to you. If you are not an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, then there are other things that you can be. But we have still seen that that's not true. That the fourfold, not the five, is the fullness of Christ. We have seen that. All of you have seen that clearly. That came to us now. Good. Now, so we have this dichotomy that, okay, so some people, and I've explained that to you, are called to the ministry. I used to think like that too. And because of experiences that some of us have had, that seem to give us that idea, we have still seen from the scriptures that to be called is to be what? Is to be saved. There is no calling in the scriptures outside that. It's to be saved. What happens is maturity in Christ. It is that maturity that is called the call of God. It's maturity. Now, that dichotomy has happened that when we now come together, there's a complex. There's a complex when we come to living like this. For the sake of responsibility, some of us, of course, for the pastor has been in the front seat and lovely, by the virtue of what? maturity that now disposes them to responsibility. It is not by the virtue of a special gifting that they possess that you don't have. Let me pause and say this for instance. When Paul was going to talk, and I explained this in series, when Paul was going to lay his credentials in 1 Corinthians 15 as touching his being an apostle, he said, they saw Jesus. He has seen the Lord, even as one born out of due time. He explained how Jesus died and folks saw him and all that. He also said in verse 10, he said, I have labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Now, looking again to the Corinthian church, when it got to the gifts of the Spirit, and he spoke about tongues, in verse 18, he knew this of the church that spoke in tongues. Well, I told them in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 1, that they came behind in no gifts. But he said, I thank my God. Notice that. I speak with tongues more than ye all. See, that is the ministry gift. I speak with tongues more than ye all. It's not I know about tongues, or I speak with tongues, but he said, more than ye all. More than you all. Now, so the ministry gift have been seen like, okay, some people are special in the body of Christ. And this is why there's hero worship. This is why, and it is positive and negative. Now, well, I won't call it negative. It backfires at the end of the day. Because of that highfalutin concept we have about ministry gifts, people worship them. People do everything. They disobey God on their behalf. People lie. They give money and all that. Now, when these same people now fall into error, they take it out of them because they have always had the belief that these people are special Christians. Let me say that again. You get it? So it again eventually will affect the body of Christ. It affects the body of Christ because everybody is a believer. Really, that's all. What has happened is maturity. So we are coming again to Christian meetings, the gift of God in a Christian meeting, a special meeting or a non-special meeting as the case may be. We look at Acts 2 when the church was birthed in the earth. When the church was birthed, knowing fully well that you came to identify with the church is Christ Jesus himself. So, he has spoken to the apostles, the disciples in John 14, I will go and I will come again to you. He says, I and my Father will make our home with you. And he did come in Acts 2. Now look at Acts 2. Let's look at an example now. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Notice that. They were all. We don't have the figures, but we guess that because chapter 1 says that people met daily, you know, and they were about 120, which included men and brethren and the apostles. Acts 1 verse 15. So we assume that they were 120. That's just an assumption. So there were 120 folks in one accord in one place. And suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Everybody was in this place. And it filled all the house where they were seated. Sitting. I want you to observe something. And there appeared unto them what? Cloven tongues. Okay? Okay. Now, there's an argument people say that, well, this, they all were apostles. We have enough reason to say they were not all apostles. Chapter 1, verse 15, let us know that people were gathering and meeting every day and praying. And 120 were recorded. Chapter 2 says that when folks began to doubt what was going on, the Bible says in verse 14, and Peter standing up with who? Lifted up his voice and said unto them, men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. This, we're not talking about themselves, okay? This, that's apart from me. I won't say this as though I'm drunk. Maybe that I'm truly drunk. I say, this, I'm not drunken as you suppose. It must have pointed to the others. And also I say it is but the third hour of the day. This is that. Apparently, they began to speak and then they pointed to the 120. Who's there? Are you following this? Are you following this now? Alright. They began to speak, then they pointed to the 120. This is that that was spoken by the prophet Joel. These things that you see and you hear. So, now, on the day of, look at the day of Pentecost. At the upper room. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the minister's seat. Huh? Filled where? All the house where they were seated. Now, apparently, look up here now. This is a man, wherever Luke is writing here, is a figurative expression because he's speaking from a vision. It filled the house where they were sitting. Now, every time you read that in the epistles, basically the Acts of the Apostles, you are referring to everybody in the congregation. When you say, and the place where they were gathered together was shaken together, you are referring to people who were gathered together. Now, again, it says it fills all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Please observe that. And it sat upon you each. So the indwelling of the Spirit was for each person. It sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now look at that. So everybody was filled with the Holy Ghost. That says there appeared there sat upon all of them cloven tongues like as I'm going to go over that again. Now verse 14, now says, Peter stood up with the 11 to minister. Peter stood up with the 11. Now, when everybody was full of the Holy Ghost, what was the response when everybody was filled or full of the Holy Ghost? What? Verse 11 or verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled. Verse 11, they speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Verse 12, what meaneth this? Verse 13, these men are full of new wine. Are we together now? Now, when the 11 got up and began to speak, verse 37. Let's take it together. Now, everybody now. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, as well as the Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What's the difference? You can see the difference of everyone and ministry gifts. There was a dichotomy, not in the endowments, but in your patience. There was a difference. Not in the endowment. We can see everyone was endowed sin. But pastor, something was about, no. Before this point, nobody had the Holy Ghost. Before this point. And Peter never said what he has seen on them had happened to us 6 weeks before now. No. Everyone was endowed the same way. Everyone. However, the ministry gifts took the forefront because they went ahead to preach and to teach. They went ahead to preach and to teach. And there was something else. Peter said, this is that, verse 16, which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days. That is Revelation. When you go to Joel 2:17, sorry, 28, you will not find in the last days there. So you're finding here Peter speaks by revelation. He says, in the last days, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. So you see, ministry gifts are the gifts of the Spirit that is resident in every believer ministered by matured people. They are the gifts of the Spirit resident in every believer. Let's go back to Acts 2 again. It says, cloven tongues like a fire, and he sat upon each of them. When you look at the church age, nothing goes and comes. I know that the folks have taught that I was preaching the anointing lifted. Oftentimes they have an Old Testament orientation. From the point a man is born again, now when it sat upon each of them, it remained on them. Because the unique quality of the indwelling of the Spirit, and I was looking at Jesus, is what John saw. He said, and I saw the Holy Ghost come on him, and he remained on him. That is the unique thing about Christianity. Romans 8:9, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of these. Ephesians 1:14, been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, sorry, verse 30. So, there is no Holy Ghost left. Holy Ghost came and went. Or as some have crafted in the anointing, is now on me. From where? Jesus had the Holy Ghost come on him once, and the Bible says, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, the funny thing is that people don't understand that statement in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of God used to come on folks in the Old Covenant, and we saw that, where they prophesy. When Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, it's not he came to me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Let me see how you understand that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So when we say he sat upon each of them, is a permanent feature. of the born again man. What Luke described in that vision was to see that utterance, whatever you saw in those folks that day, sat upon them. It's not to come and leave. It's a permanent feature of a born again man. A permanent feature of a born again man. You can write this if you are writing seriously. Is an endowment. He said, cloven tongues. I love that word, cloven. The word cloven tongues is divided tongues. As of fire. Now, he says, and sat, look at it again. They appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now, you can look at it like this. You can say cloven tongues there will mean that each person had something divided. That means the one that said same thing was for each person. You can also look at it like this and, well, there is a diversity upon each person. Either way, you will not be deviating from scripture. So each person who is born again from this encounter, we can see, has the endowment. So the next verse says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice that the speaking proceeded from the endowment. The speaking is not the endowment. The indwelling is the endowment. The speaking is a result of the endowment. So, in the church age, things don't come and go. Because the nature of the indwelling does not require conditions. Jesus is a sacrifice for the gifts of God. So, nobody was required to do anything. Nobody was required to fast and pray. Nobody was required to do anything. So, the nature of the gifts of God, even the endowment of the Spirit, are such that they are free. That's why I said, he sat upon. Now, every time you read scripture, I say, everyone is. That is the nature. Look at it happened in the Old Covenant. God said in Numbers, pick men upon whom my Spirit will come upon. I know the funny part. Elder and Midah went to the into the tabernacle. They went outside the tabernacle and they were among many Jews. And only upon the two of them did the Spirit come upon. So it's not an all men. Look at this as everyone. All. It's a little emphasis showing you the free nature of the character of the gifts of God. Let me see how that's clear to you. Is that clear to you? Good. Now, let's go further. You will see again, now, as time went on, I showed you this, in the meetings, the 12 took preeminence. Acts 2 and Acts 4 speaks of the apostles' doctrine. Acts 2:47, the apostles' doctrine. That is, the apostles' thought. They taught. Acts 2:42 and 47. Sorry, not 2:42. In Acts 3, Peter and John were the beautiful gate. And again, we can see the miraculous through their hands. That was the first time that the power gives to be in the demonstration. Notice again, the utterance gifts preceded, the revelation gifts, and then the power gifts. Notice the precedence. I mean the sequence. Now, by Acts 2, you see the power gifts. By Acts 4, when they began to pray and the church gather to pray, the Bible says that prayer will grant unto your servants. They kept praying in that direction. That with all boldness, they will speak your word. And they were referring to the 12. So the Bible says, with great power, verse 33, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. Now, look up, guys. Do you know, till at this point, everybody had the same endowment? So, Acts 5, the Bible says again, signs and wonders were done by the hands of the apostles. Acts 5:12. By Acts 6, we find the scenario of a need arose. Obviously, the apostles were distributing food and they were just 12. And folks had 3,000, we had 5,000, and most of them had thousands of people. So they had to choose 7 men who they had noticed were full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now, they now picked Stephen. Stephen was a bit unique. Faith, that word, is full of grace, power, and of the Holy Ghost. That must mean he is a man who has been seen amongst the people with utterance. He had been seen amongst the people with utterance. They had seen him. So the apostles pay premium to utterance, full of the Holy Ghost. Now, look again by verse 8. Man Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles amongst the people. Verse 10. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. So Stephen is not an apostle, not yet. But he had exercised himself in the gifts of the Spirit amongst people. So something that was known with the apostles in chapter 5 verse 12 is now seen with an usher. What happened in Acts 6 to Stephen was that there was an exercise of the gifts of the Spirit. Things were made obvious. But you know, if it was in Acts 2, the endowment had been present all along. Let's go on further. By Acts 15, of course, there have been the demise of Stephen. So, Acts 11, I'll just rush a loop of things. We'll still go back to it. Acts 8, we have seen that there was persecution. So, the 12 remained in Jerusalem because of Stephen's death, and then others went. Now, observe something. They picked men who were full of the Holy Ghost and a wisdom. Look up. Please listen well. Stop writing. They picked Stephen, but Stephen now was different. They added full of faith, full of grace. By Acts 8, one of the seven, full of the Holy Ghost, that is utterance and wisdom, of course, full of the word, was now full of miracles. Acts 8:5. Philip now went down to Samaria and he preached Christ. And there was great miracles again. Bible says, I mean, the kind of miracles that we are seeing with Peter and John, we are now seeing with Philip. But you know that before that period, Philip was known for what? Utterance. But don't forget, he was known. So, by the time you go over into Acts 11, you discover that some of the brethren who were heard above verse 19, Acts 11, were preaching. And as they were preaching, verse 21 says that the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned to the Lord. There was no single apostle here. No single apostle. They were disciples. Those who were disciples. That is, they were being taught even the word. By Acts 13, okay, you see, so Acts 15, I'll go to 13 now. You see, the Bible says the apostles have explained that to you, and the elders gather to consider a matter. And the elders, of course, have explained to you our ministry gifts, which involved the prophets, Judas and Silas, and of course several other people. Now look at Acts 18. Verse 1. Now they were in the church that was at Antioch. Certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, when he says, now all that when he says there was in the church, if he wanted to say they were from the church. For example, when you read Acts 21, you discover that he didn't say, he made a distinction. You know, here in Acts 13, is actually referring to regular meetings. So, after a while in Antioch, people were known as prophets and teachers. And he mentioned their names. And he says, there are these folks, near the Lord and pastor, do you know this? In the church gatherings. They were in the church gatherings. People that were now known as prophets and teachers. The Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Again, see, utterance is involved. And revelation. Lay their hands on them and then be sent forth, verse 4, by the Holy Ghost. Now go back to Acts 11. That's wrong. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them, named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there will be death, great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Now, is foretelling special to the prophet? Huh? No. Because we have seen in Acts 21, people that were not prophets did speak to Paul. In Acts 21. But there stood up someone called Agabus. In Acts, now, where did Agabus come from? Where did he come from? Jerusalem. Well, of course, in this thing, we are tracing to the Acts 8 departure. Can you remember that? Those who left from Jerusalem when there was persecution are moved, you know, all throughout all the earth. Now, these folks particularly went to Antioch. And initially, we found them, first of all, preaching and teaching. And eventually, we now saw the gifts of God, you know, to that point of being called a prophet. Now, look at this. Agabus now stood up and signified by the Spirit. By Acts 21 again, we see Agabus, same fellow, who now goes ahead to prophesy and signify by the Spirit again to Paul. Now, notice something. That people were known over time in the gathering of the saints. Nobody came from outside and said, I am this. The last time that happened was because Jesus chose 12 folks who will bear witness for him. Let me see how that's clear to you. People were known amongst the church. So listen, church meetings birth ministry gifts. Church meetings birth ministry gifts. You see, the more people gathered, the more believers came together, there seemed to be those endowments came to the fore. Those endowments of the gifts of Christ came to the fore. It's not far-fetched. 1 Corinthians 12:28. What I'm saying here will be very difficult for some of us who have grown up with the dichotomy mentality. Somebody is called, so he comes. So when he is called, we see his calling. No. I've showed you that there are only four ministry gifts. Is that clear to us? The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and teacher. Four. Those four were called some. And the four are the fullness of Christ. The four are the measure of the gift of Christ. When he rose up, he filled all things with four. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor and teacher, who are not persons, but are ministered through what? Persons. Now see, so 1 Corinthians 4:28 says, he has set some in the church, firstly apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, other miracles, gifts of healings, helps, government, and you know I've said that these are formative, what you call it, meeting in the formative stages, good. But, same are present in church meetings. That formative stage will be seen in church, and that after formative stage will still be seen in church. What Philip went to do in Samaria was the work of an evangelist. How? That means I've been wasting my time in this sense. Listen, what Philip did in Samaria was the work of an evangelist. Eh? When was the gift of the ministry of an evangelist made obvious about from him, through him? Where? Where? In the church. It is not a gift for the world. Amen. That will upset you. It will upset you. Because you have been set up. Alright. It is in the church meetings that we see it. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. You discover that we saw that what Philip went to do in Samaria was done by several other brethren. However, those same brethren that came from Jerusalem to Antioch, after a while, were now known as what? Prophets. Did they leave Jerusalem as prophets? Eh? They left as what? Disciples. Did Jesus birth them as disciples? No. Their being disciples had to do with their level of what? Maturity. By Acts 11, disciples have grown up for the work of ministry. They were now known as prophets. It's not 2 days old or 6 days. It took years. Are we together? Are you sure? Good. So, what Philip went to preach is the ministry of every believer. Whether you are an apostle, you have seen that there was nothing unique that Peter, James, and John did that Stephen did not do and Philip did not do. The uniqueness is among the saints. Mark 16:15-18 already classifies all believers as touching signs and wonders. Let me see, and that's clear. And I'll show you that in this series. So when we come together, this is it. You will observe, I'm fast tracking it, that when we come together, how we will know, how we will know the mature one is not by the power gifts. It is by utterance and revelation gifts. Hey, am I still in church? Are we together? Okay. See, look at 1 Corinthians 14. We'll go back there. I showed you to mark some things. So if you have not been coming since, there's no way I can go back to June or May last year. I'm sorry. It's called concerning the gifts of God. We are now in meetings. I mean, if you have been absconding from lectures and you come in when, you know, we have finished first semester and you are in second semester, and we didn't write the exam in first semester, second semester, we now say, just like we said last semester, you need to go get somebody who came for first semester lectures to teach you. If the person really was not only doing will help you, but the person is just a student, you know, who is for class lower, it may not help you. So that means you get the CD so that you can tag along very well. See this now. He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men but unto God, verse 2. For no man understands, albeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. So we have seen how Paul describes Christian meetings. He that speaks in tongues, he speaks mysteries. Verse 3, he that prophesies speaks unto men, unto edification, comfort, and exhortation. Verse 4, he that speaks in tongues. So there's a whole lot of speaking that is mentioned here. You see 4, 5, then 5, speak with tongues. Again, 6, speak with tongues. You go to verse 13. Let him that speaks in tongues pray that he may interpret. Verse 14. My spirit prays. My desire is not fruitful. Verse 15. I pray with the spirit. I pray with understanding. Verse 16. You know, how shall I be blessed with the spirit? Again, verse 17. Very, you give thanks to God. But then I read the 5, verse 18. I speak with tongues more than you all. Look at verse 23. If the whole church comes together into one place and all speak with tongues, there coming one that is unlearned or unbeliever, we didn't know you are mad. If one prophesy, there coming one that believes, and one unlearned is convinced of what is judged of all. That's what it says. When you come together, brethren, it says, and every one of you has a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. Again, it lays credence on speaking. In verse 26, every one of you. Now, notice this, because we are coming close now. Okay, let's do shorter speakings now. If there is any speak with tongues, verse 27, let it be by two or by three. Let's, you know, by that cause let one interpret. 28, let him keep silent and speak to himself and to God. 29, let the prophet speak. 38, if anything be revealed to another that sits by. 31, you may have prophesied. So, a lot of speaking, okay, is done in the church. So, you can see how we know those who are full of the Holy Ghost and the wisdom. Can you see? There is a lot of speaking going on. So, we know those who are full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom. Because there is a lot of speaking going on. That is where we know people. Follow intelligently. Notice the indwelling of the Spirit every instance. Acts 2, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. Acts 2, 4. Acts 10, 40 to 44, Cornelius' house, they spoke in tongues. And then they magnified God. Acts, I want to observe something. It said they spoke with tongues, magnifying God. They spoke with tongues and magnified God. So we have seen diverse uses of the utterance. Now, in Acts 19, with the 12 folks Paul met, where John the Baptist's disciples, verse 6, and he laid hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Again, we have seen speaking. So, Paul writes to this church, the Corinthian church, who's in Acts 14, and he says, verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even our testimony of Christ was confirmed to you, so that you come behind, you lack in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that statement. There's a book say that the error or something has gone. It says you lack no gift waiting for the coming. So the gift are given till the coming. There is no dispensation or division in those things. Now, so this church did not come behind in any gifts. Now, where possible, they came behind in no gift. Of course, he was talking by the virtue of instruction. Not by endowment, or by the virtue of instruction, because he had said that they were rich in all knowledge and utterance. So he was referring to the fact that he had taught them so much that they did not lack as touching the demonstrations of the things of the Spirit. Now, listen to this. Let's now go to 1 Corinthians 14. Paul is writing an instruction. Now, generally, when you write a letter to a church, you know it's not possible that every statement you are referring to everybody. Let me see if you understand that. Abba. Except I want to hand individual letters, I will begin to speak and I will say, if this, if that, and I expect people to know who I'm talking to or talking about. When, for instance, he spoke in 1 Corinthians 10 and he spoke about those who go to the feast and, you know, eat meat offered to idols. We're not talking to anybody. Some folks don't go, some folks go, but those things were relative to who he was referring to as touching particular experiences. Now, when he says we are in Christ, we are sanctified, we are made holy, he was not talking to specific group, he was talking to believers. But when he begins to talk about certain experiences, he's asking all to men, yes, but he's speaking as touching certain people. Now, when he says that the man who was a Corinthian fornicator and he said that, don't eat with him, he can't be talking to the church of 17,000 now. He must be referring to those who were his clique. Some people may not even know him. Some people may just have heard about it. Let me see if they are getting what I'm saying to you. Now, when he writes in 1 Corinthians 14, open your ears now. How many of you know that 1 Corinthians 14 was referring to church meetings? Look up now. Ah, are we together? So when it says, he that speaks in tongues, speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Was he talking to everybody? What's up with everybody? Okay, let's move on. Paul begins to say that he now says, I will that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. Were you talking to everybody still? Okay, maybe you still don't know. So he now says, if you all speak with tongues, somebody comes in and, you know, is an unbeliever, how does he know what you are saying? Okay? It goes on. When you come together, each one of you has a tongue, has an interpretation, has a doctrine, has a revelation, has a psalm. Let all things be done unto edifying. Now look at 27. If every speaks in tongues, is that verse 2? Eh? Is that verse 2? Let it be by what? Eh? Or at most? Let one? Are you following this? Verse 28. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. 29. Let the prophet do what? Speak what? No, speak what? Eh? Speak what? Eh? Tongues? No. He never referred to interpretation with the prophet, because that is why they are prophets. They are matured in the gifts of the Spirit. So let them speak. Two, or at most by three. For the prophet, you don't interpret, you judge. That is what you do to ministry gifts. So the instruction to interpret your tongues was not for ministry gifts. Rather, it is an instruction young Christians to grow up. To grow up into what? Ministry gifts. Praise God. Alright, yes, you're tired. Let's see the prophets again. Let them speak two or three and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. You know what I'm talking about here? Eh? You may all prophesy one by one, and all may learn, and all may be comforted. Who is he talking to here? Who may all prophesy? Ah. Don't lose it now. He has started talking to the prophets. He would have changed it in verse 31 and returned to the prophet in verse 32. So he says, when he got to the prophet, he only spoke about order. He didn't speak about the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit. You will discover again that what? Okay, let me slow down a bit. When it says, he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men in the congregation, is that a ministry gift? Huh? That is a baby Christian. Eh? Because Paul, in ministry, he says that I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all, but in the church I prophesy. I speak with tongues and interpret. Are we together? When someone is in church and he speaks with tongues and no man understands him, and in the spirit he's edifying himself, sure, he's what? He's a baby Christian. So stop quoting verse 2 for yourself. Okay? Are you following what I'm saying? Stop quoting verse 2 for yourself. Well, if you are quoting it for yourself, I will advise you to read further in verse 14 and 15 so that you can grow up. Do you observe? He said something in verse 39. Read 39 very well. What is in 39? Eh? Eh? Compared to what? However, don't kill the tongues. Just move to interpretation. That's what he's saying. He didn't place them on the same pedestal. What did he say he should desire? He says, do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Desire the best of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:31. What is diversity of tongues? Tongues plus what? Interpretation. So, Ephesians 4:11, he gave gifts to men, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for what? The edifying of the body of Christ. So if you are still on the level of edifying yourself, you have not grown up. If you are in the private life, just like Paul, I speak with someone that you are, obviously, he's talking about the private life. But if you are alone, great. But now you are in the church where ministry gifts are known. You see, it is the tongues plus interpretation that happens in the local assembly that we see. That's how we rate you. Stop telling us how you spoke in tongues for 6 hours in your bedroom. That is your bedroom. When you are in the church, do we get edified by you? Praise God. If all you can do, some four of us are like that. And we just say, who has a tongue? And you burst out. Then you come and you just rattle us with tongues and drop the mic. Please, next time, sit in the congregation, okay? We can do that to be teaching you. Now we have moved a bit higher, okay? When you come, there will be no interpreter. Just stay back, speak to yourself and to your God. Hallelujah. Let the prophets there will speak of the ministry gifts. Let them speak two, but most by three, by that course. He says, let another judge.
These three gifts.
He is the one that will bring us to what? Edification. Are we together? Amen? So, we're talking about ministry gifts in what? In the church meetings. Now, go back to Acts 2. Do you see that in the apostles? You saw it. Beautiful. That all may learn. Why do you say all may learn? 1 Corinthians 14:26. When you come together, each one of you has a sound, has a doctrine. That word doctrine is where you get instruction. So if you can have a Bible, just write instruction. You see, have the revelation, have the tongue, have the... Now, did you observe that? For the... At what point does the mature babe stop? Tongues, because it doesn't even have an interpretation. So it stops. Can you see? But the ministry gift will have a revelation, have an interpretation, have tongues, and have a lesson, an instruction, so that all may learn. So you can see the ministry gift is the one that bears the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit in operations. Let me see how they are getting me clear. You just get me clear? Good. So, hallelujah. Now, don't forget, if we come together like this and we are in a prayer meeting, we are all to pray. We can all pray in tongues. But when we now start to minister, you will meet those who are children in their understanding. We are children. He says, in understanding, be men. So, that maturity is what leads to edifying the church, edifying the body of Christ. Did you observe that amongst believers, what takes preeminence are utterance gifts and revelation gifts? I've said that many times. I'll begin to close now. Alright, thought I had more time. Stop and see. Stop. In Jesus' days, which gifts of the Spirit, now when I say gifts of the Spirit, I know gifts of the Spirit are post-redemption, but which gifts of the Spirit seem to have more preeminence? Eh? Power gifts. Now, please, oh, listen very, very well. Very, very well. In Mark 16, which gifts seem to also have preeminence? Good. Did you observe that the two instances I mentioned are among the unsaved? These signs shall follow them that believe. Even these signs shall be to them that believe. Now, listen well. What is the Old Testament? How were prophets classified? By power gifts or by utterance and revelation gifts? Eh? Where is Elijah and Elisha? What revelation did they give you of Christ? Eh? Who ever quoted them? Jesus didn't quote them. No apostle quoted them. The greatest of all the prophets was who? He didn't work any miracle. Are we together? So in the church, what is most prominent? Eh? Talk to me. Utterance gifts and excellence. In the indwelling of Christ in men, which is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, what is the first proof that we have seen? All trans gifts, have you? Alright. Okay? Now, which one tends more to the senses? All trans? Let's look at the degree where they live in senses. Power, options, revelation. Which one lives in senses more? After that, which one do you think is the highest in the church? In the spirit. Which one? What you hear in the spirit? What are you referring to? Very good. Are we following? In the spirit refers to utterance. Primarily utterance. Is signified by the spirit. Obviously it's utterance. So you see that the church age primarily is utterance. Because we are not men of the senses. We are not men of the senses. So I think that's where I'm going to close. Praise God. We're going somewhere. Just relax. Enjoy it. Christian meetings. Don't have joy, no. Amen. Don't have joy. Do you know the thing? That you look at John, it's just close, you know. You know that in John 1, John said he saw the Holy Ghost descend on Jesus like a dove. But you know that nobody referred to that. Nobody did, though. Paul didn't. Jesus didn't. Do you know that what Jesus and Paul quoted from John was his utterance? That's what they quoted. For John verily, verily baptized with water. And he said, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Paul quoted him like that, Acts 19, verse 4. That shows you where we know ministry gifts. Hallelujah. In the church, can you build believers up? Can you build believers up? How close like this? You know, Philip. Like somebody, I told you the story of one guy that was doing business and I said, you chicken out. In Acts 8, Philip had worked mighty signs and wonders on the miraculous. He now got to believers being edified. Philip now called the apostles. Hallelujah. Philip called the apostles. He said, look, come and lay hands on these ones that they will be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they will speak with tongues. He shined well among unbelievers. Well, because even if you come back to, truth of the matter is this. We see, you know, like Paul said, follow after the best of the gifts. Say, I will that you prophesy. So you are zealous of spiritual gifts, but seek to be edifying of the church. What is that? So there is what edifies the church. Amen. I close. Bow your heads. Bless the Lord. Thank you.